Good morning. It's 10:55 on January 24th. Yeah, it is morning still, for a change. The day has been one of those days where elder daughter forgot to wake up. I thought she was up, but she didn't get up. My first indication was that her ride was waiting for her in the driveway, and yeah, that didn't happen. So I've been working taxi duty this morning. I made a run to the grocery store. I got wife home today, sick. I've been catching up on blogging, leaving comments, doing grading, all the things that I need to do to try to clear the decks a little bit so that I can actually try to get some work done today on writing. And that I intend to is probably, doesn't mean a whole lot right at the moment. What will be more important is if I actually do. The Star Wars Yoda quote, "There is no try, there is only do," which I think most judges would argue with, but that's a different sense of the word try. Anyway, weird stuff happening. I'm getting emails from people who are interested in publishing my book. And that's books. It's not something new. I actually been getting a lot of them. And most of the stuff is for a mere $5,000. You too could have a graphic novel representation of your book. It's like, no, thanks, pass. There's a lot of people who want to improve my SEO and redo my website and to consult with me on reaching a wider audience. The ones that amuse me are the ones that say they can help me get higher on the Google search page. In part because with the recent changes to Google's search algorithms, you can't really tell where my site falls on somebody else's page. You can only see where you are on your own. And the reality is, all of the searches that return me have me as number one. So I'm not quite sure how they expect they're going to get any higher than that, which only leads me to think that it's a mass mailing, not terribly important, and something that I generally just, in most cases, just ignore. In the case of somebody who writes to tell me they've read my book, I will thank them for reading. I don't know how much I can say right at the moment. So I will say that one of those people wrote me back a couple of times, and I finally looked them up to see who is this person who's bugging me. And I was surprised. I was a bit on the shocked side, frankly. And what I did was consulted my network on a couple of close groups in Facebook to find out if anybody knew who this was. And turns out to be, yeah, somebody pretty important. We're talking about international now. So it's not something that's going to impinge anything that happens here in the U.S. Certainly not something that's going to interfere with my podcasting, nor with the idea that I'm going to pursue, which is something I need to make a note to myself to do this afternoon, pursue back my book with the back my book to people and to get the Audible version of Ravenwood up over there. The Audible version. Yeah, not Audible version, the audiobook version of Ravenwood. So see how this goes. I don't know. Like I said, it's not something that I'm expecting is going to yield a lot, but it's a book that's fallen below 10,000. So a little is probably a good improvement, and getting the next book out, of course, will help that even more. I'm now looking at this as taking up a lot of my time, since I've actually done most of the work already. in terms of getting the files ready to go to Audible, I'm sure those same files can be zipped, combined, uploaded, whatever I need to do to get them accessible to back my book. So that's kind of cool. I'm kind of excited. Not exactly the level of production I was hoping for the month, but it's something. Yesterday afternoon, I talked to you in between starting the errand runs. There were several of them yesterday afternoon as well. I didn't get a lot done. There's still stuff I need to do to get ready for my trip to Colorado Springs on Friday, not the least of which is that I probably should take the car in for an oil change. I think it's due. And if I'm going to drive for 3 hours, I'd like to make sure that the vehicle isn't going to get damaged or break down along the way. While I have AAA is not really a alternative mode of transportation. It's a safety net that I prefer not to have to use. So probably tomorrow or perhaps Thursday I'll make a run over and spend an hour or so at the dealers and get oil changed and belts checked and some other things that have been sort of lurking in the background in terms of car repair. Perhaps I can actually take my netbook, and do some work while in there. That would be astonishing. So, yeah, speaking of cosine, I heard from Mem Moran last night, this morning, and I will be on the game panel. So I will be competing against, I don't know who else, but potentially Charlie Strauss or Connie Willis. That would be a fun panel to say that I sat on a con panel with Connie Willis and Charles Strauss. That would be a hoot. Right up there with sitting on the panel with Catherine Kurtz a couple of years ago at Mile High Con, talking about the state of fantasy and fantasy literature. Talk about your fanboy moment. There's also been a lot of noise about the ACX kerfuffle with Patio Books. The idea that if you give your audio away for free in any form, then you can't list your book in Audible's catalog through ACX. Or any other way, really. The truth is that there are several books that are in the catalog that they've done a very bad job about policing the effort as ebooks, the easy buy, a subscription model, which I would not be surprised to see rolled out to Kindle before too long, and the credit. You know, you trade a book for your purchase, you trade a credit, you buy a packet of credits at the beginning of the month or the beginning of the year and use those credits. Yeah, that's one model. It's an easy model that doesn't require extensive use of a credit card, which is one of the benefits of it. The downside, of course, is that everybody measures their credits against what it costs per credit, and it's about the latest thing I saw was about $4.50 per. So if the book costs so much, it's one credit. If it costs more, it's two credits. If it costs more than that, it's three credits. There's this whole sliding scale of how many credits do you need to use up in order to order the book and listen to it. Now, Audible members, of course, have a discounted price over that makes the Audible books much more reasonable in terms of purchase. A $35 audiobook, for example, is discounted to around $10 for members, which makes me wonder how much of that $10 makes its way to the producer of the book, who has it available for $35 and at a 25% royalty rate could expect to get, I don't know, divide that by four, what is that, $8-something, almost $9. And at $10, do they still get $9? Do they still get $8? Or is it 25% of 10? Or something in between, I don't know. Anyway, Audible has pretty much slammed the door, and I never have been a fan of Audible, so this isn't anything really new for me. Although it's interesting to see how many people who have been playing in the Audible sandbox are now saying, you know, maybe not so much. Now, I'm not advocating that anybody drop their Audible subscription or anything else. It's their business is their business, and the way you find audio to listen to is up to you. I don't even have a dog in this fight, really, because I don't sell audio. Well, I haven't sold audio up until this point, and really was only pursuing Ravenwood as an experiment, one that has paid in terms of knowledge, but not necessarily in terms of product yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go up on Back My Book sometime soon, but that's neither here nor there. Again, that's just a way to get my work into another catalog. And in many ways, getting into Back My Book as a catalog has a higher value than getting into Audible's catalog. The Big Frog, Small Pond strategy holds no matter where your product goes. So it's more difficult, for example, to get a blog notice because there's so much blog than it is to get a podcast notice because there's fewer podcasts. By a factor of about 10 times fewer podcasts. The problem is that number of podcasts by itself is still quite large. And even podcast fiction is growing quite astonishingly. So getting your work noticed in audiobooks is 1 out of 600 is much better than 1 out of 6,000. Getting your work noticed on Kindle with that kind of social network background, that kind of support of the 1,000 true fans, means that you're going into this collection with an audience that already puts your work into visibility just pretty much as soon as it enters. And I hope that continues. As expected, speaking of Amazon and works going in, the November promotion of $1.99 for the month, putting QuarterShare up as a kind of discounted rate through the Amazon program with the book of the month, whatever it was, has resulted in a great deal of one-star reviews. It's one of the axioms, is that the cheaper the book is, the more likely it is that you'll attract an audience you don't intend. And a lot of these people bought the book thinking, oh, well, here's some space opera, it's highly rated, and I can't wait to see what they blow up, and who gets the girl in the end? And the answer is Ishmael Huang. And it's quite unsatisfying for them. And they are not shy, understandably so, about registering their dissatisfaction in Amazon. You know, I can't help that. It's a bit demoralizing, but it also helps, I think, it helps me in terms of informing my practice to a certain extent. Yeah, this is good feedback. About 10% of the people who read the book really don't like it for the exact same reason that 80% of the people who do read it like it. That's not correct. It's about half of the people who read it give 5-star reviews. Everybody else is 4, 3, 2, or 1. So half of the people who like the book, half of the people who read the book like it well enough to give it a 5-star review. And they give it the 5-star review for exactly the same reason that the people who give it 1- and 2-star reviews cite as flaws. The lesson there is, of course, that you can't please everybody. And if you can please half the people who read it, that's probably pretty good. There was a link being passed around this morning about 1-star reviews for famous works. And one of my favorites was a review of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And the review was, the main character was not likable at all. Yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of the idea. So the fact that they gave it a 1-star review really says much more about the reviewer than it does about the work. I really didn't like the main character. So it worked, because you weren't supposed to like him. And you didn't like the book because you didn't like him, which means you're only going to give a 5-star review to lead characters that you like. I've got a book for you that you might like. I should probably find out who sent that review and let them know. Anyway, but there is a lot of good stuff in those 1-star reviews. The degree to which people misinterpret what they're seeing is a sign to me that I'm not as effective on the page as I think I might be. Even great books get bad reviews, but I think reading them with an open mind is part of the process. At one point I wrote a post that I can't remember where if you're not going to pay attention to the 1-star reviews because they're done by idiots, then what makes the 5-star reviews any more credible? What makes them any more important to the critique of the work, to future efforts? That wind is getting stiff. Just blew my hood off. I've got the fleece on today, so with any luck, we're not getting a lot of wind noise. So the interesting place that I find myself in this morning in terms of reading these old reviews of Quarter Share. And none of the other books have anywhere near that number of reviews, so I find it interesting. Of course, what I find most interesting are the people who read every book and complain about the same thing in every single title, and then complain that the next book is out. That's like, dude, get a life. There's more to life than critiquing my books. Or log on to iTunes, because they're all there and you can bash them all you like. Anyway. Whew. I'm walking fast, talking fast. I know I'm walking fast because I'm having trouble keeping my breath. I'm hiking right along because it is quite snippy.